When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is Terrio Media.
Success in real estate has nothing to do with shiny objects. It has everything to do with mastering the basics. The three pillars of real estate investing: attract, convert, exit. Matt Terrio has been helping real estate investors do just that for more than a decade now. If you want to make money in real estate, keep listening. If you want it faster, visit reiace.com. Here's Matt.
Okay, welcome to the Epic Real Estate Investing Show. I got a great guest for you today. The CEO of a very popular real estate investor tool, Investor Carrot. Or just Carrot now, I guess, right?
Just Carrot, yeah.
Just Carrot, yeah. Please help me welcome to the show, Mr. Trevor Mock. Trevor, welcome to the Epic Real Estate Investing Show.
Matt, I appreciate it, dude. It's funny, right before we hit record, we both discovered that we're sitting about an hour and a half away from each other in two small towns in Oregon right now.
It's yes.
Funny. Small world.
I mean, and when you consider that I'm in a log cabin in the woods, that's like, that's really weird.
I love it.
So totally. Great. So Trevor, I mean, we never really got to talk before. We've been in the same place several times together, and I don't think we've ever really reached out to each other. But first of all, let me just start with this. I'm a total domain name freak. Tell me the story about how you got the carrot.com.
Oh man, that's a story, dude. So the cliff notes of it is this, guys, is when I first came up with the name Carrot, like for this company started early 2014, I wanted something that was broad enough that we could go into different markets, but I wanted it to be fun. Like I wanted it to be something we could brand. And I thought of, well, Steve Jobs like made a company out of a fruit. And I was trying to think of like, what is it that our business is going to represent? Most websites out there in the real estate investor market, real estate agent market, small businesses in general is a brochure. But what my background was conversion optimization, was driving traffic, was making a website actually convert and perform. And so I said, man, a website should be like, what's the company? It's a carrot. Like the website's just a carrot that someone like grabs. And so as soon as I did that, I went online to find what the best domain was that I could find. And there was no, carrot.com was taken. It was an artist. He'd owned it since the beginning of the internet up in Canada. And so I found like all the different domains I could find that was related to carrot, and getcarrot.com was taken and blah, blah, blah. So I bought carrot.ly. That was when .lys were really popular. Everything was named .ly. Now everything's .io. I bought that one, carrot.ly, but I didn't want to make that our domain name. So I bought OnCarrot. O-N's. Hey, what system are you using? Oh, I'm OnCarrot. And so that's what we went with for years. But what happened, Matt, was I would go to events or I'd be talking to people who were online. They'd be like, oh, we love OnCarrot. Like, OnCarrot's amazing. And it bugged the crap out of me because our company name is not OnCarrot. There's nothing about our company that's OnCarrot other than the domain name. Probably half of the market thought our company name was called OnCarrot. Bugged me. So here's how we actually got the domain now. And that's our motivation to get it and why we ended up investing so much in it. Was I kept on reaching out to the artist probably over a 2 or 3 year period. And he would just never answer back. And then about 2 years ago, we were looking online. We pulled up carrot.com again. And we're like, what the heck? There's a coming soon page for a software company up here. And go, man, we missed that opportunity. And then they launched. The guys like had carrot on their license plates. They were all in on this, man. And they launched and they went out of business within 90 days. They were venture funded, all that stuff. It was a whole nother story there. So then that goes, it disappears. And we're like, oh man, we might be able to get it back. I talked to the owner of that company. He said he could sell it for way more than I thought I would ever want to pay for it. Now looking back, I'm like, oh, I wish I would have paid that much for it. He said, well, I can sell it for what's owed on it. But that's about it. It was $250,000 what he owed on it. I'm like, oh, no way. I'm not going to pay that. It's crazy. And so then it goes back, and then it showed up on a GoDaddy auction about 8 months later. And we're like, what the heck? This thing's on GoDaddy now, right now. And so we were going to sit back. It was like a week before the auction was over. We were going to sit back and bid on it the last day. And we had worked our numbers. And our number, of course, grew since the last time in our minds. Like, hey, we want this domain because we need to go all in on our brand. We don't want to be called OnCarrot anymore. We're going to go bigger with our business, and we need to own the Carrot brand. And it disappeared off the GoDaddy auction like 2 days before it was up.
Oh, man.
And then I thought it was lost again. And about a week or two later, I Google carrot.com domain sale just to see, because I'm like, ah, big domains, they usually write an article on it or something. And there was an article on it. And this guy, this really famous domain guy, kind of makes it part of his career to rescue these big domains that expire on accident for people and then get them back to the families. Because usually a multi-six-figure domain doesn't expire on accident. Like someone messed up or someone passed away. And so they found it the day before it fully expired and would like been fully auctionable on GoDaddy. They found the family. The original artist had passed away of cancer. So when he sold it to the tech company people, they then defaulted on it. He had passed away. It went back to escrow.com. It didn't renew. The family didn't know about it. It goes to GoDaddy. These guys find it, get it back to the family. And I ended up negotiating with them. And we purchased the domain for about what you could buy a really nice house for. But I can't live in the domain. But we own the brand now, man. We're pumped about it.
Well, good. Yeah, you deserve that one.
You work for it. It was a 3-year process, man.
There's all kinds of lessons in there, I'm sure.
Oh, there are.
All right, so for those that have no idea what we're even talking about, tell us, what is Carrot.com?
Dude, so Carrot.com, it's the central problem that we wanted to solve back in 2013, 2014 was there are tons of real estate investors, agents, I mean, small businesses in general who were told to get online, right? Like, just get online. And that's when all of your mom and pop development shops and Wix and Weebly's and Squarespace popped up from 2002 through 2012. And I'm like, man, everyone says that they're online, but they're not getting results. And that was my whole career the past 4 or 5 years before that, was getting results online, conversion optimization, driving traffic, SEO. And we said, you know what? I think we can solve this problem. Let's solve the problem of helping people to finally get results with their online presence. And that's what we did, man. We dove in and created a platform that makes it so investors and real estate agents can launch a website that converts really high. It's amazing on mobile. It's the fastest tech stack in not just the industry, but one of the fastest in the world. A third-party study rated us. And our clients bring in more inbound leads through Google and Facebook ads and stuff like that than any other platform in the real estate industry. So if you Google, like, sell my house fast, insert any city in the country, you're probably going to find between 3 and 8 Carrot sites controlling page one in Google for pretty much every city in the country.
Got it.
Yeah.
So SEO is a big part of it then.
It is. SEO is a big part of it. And that was kind of like, that was kind of the first thing those first few years is it was performance, right? SEO, ranking really high in Google, but then also the conversion side of it, where we've had a lot of big investors who paid the $15,000 to make it really pretty custom site that moved over to us. Because of performance, because they're converting way more visitors into leads and closing more deals. But yeah, SEO is one of our big advantages for sure.
Yeah, I hear people always talk about that, like how many organic things that they get from it, organic leads. So with that said, what's the status of SEO and what's the future of it?
Dude, that's a good question, man, because when I'll talk with a lot of investors...
We're talking about search engine optimization, by the way.
There we go. Yep. Ranking at the top of Google. If someone, they've got a problem in their mind, they want to sell their house fast, or they want to buy an investment property, sell their land or whatever, they're going to go to Google and type up like, how to sell my vacant land in Ohio. And you want to be the guy or gal at the top of the search engines because you're going to get somewhere between 30 to 40% of the traffic from that search if you're in the first ranking. And so here's kind of where we are in the state of it. Now, there's been a million like SEO is dead reports, just like there's been a million Facebook is dead reports and a million this or that. And then 4 years later, they say how it's amazing. And I don't see Google and Google being the collector of information going away anytime soon. Now, their methods of collecting the information and showing it changes. And what's happened over the last several years is they really, really, really focus in on trust, authority, and credibility way more than they did 4 or 5 years ago. So four or five years ago, you could launch a well-optimized website with really good content, you know, like good titles and tags, make sure you have all the keywords in there, and get a bunch of backlinks from Fiverr. Like, I've never been that guy, but you can go buy a bunch of backlinks from Fiverr, and then your ranking just pops up there. And then they started making these updates where they're like, oh, shoot, Google doesn't like bad backlinks. They don't like to game the system with crappy backlinks. So don't go buy backlinks from Fiverr, everybody. That will kill your SEO ranking. So they made that update there. And then the most recent one that's really been a big impact that we've been doubling down on is called the Medic update, and Trust Rank and stuff like that. And basically, it's going out there where they're looking at the trust of that website, and they're looking at reviews now. They're looking at the credibility profile of your website. Do you have other credible websites linking to you that are really good ones? If you get like one really insanely credible website linking to you, that could outweigh 200 crappy backlinks over here. Just one good link. Mm-hmm. And so trust is the biggest thing right now, man, that we're making sure people have testimonials on their websites. You've got your Google reviews that you're starting to build up, your Facebook reviews. Google's looking at all that into a package now, and it's starting to reward you in the rankings.
Nice. Got it. Super. I was innovation wise. Mm-hmm. What do you have planned for the website,
dude? The biggest thing I think innovation wise. I mean, and I'll talk about like some actual innovation stuff. But here's the thing: I think so many real estate investors are looking at their websites primarily as this thing that I get online and maybe some people go to. I hope I get some leads, and I'm just going to try to make it as low cost as possible. And where things are moving towards, Matt, is content. And we've been all in on content for years, but with investors in general, it was hard for a couple years to get them to want to go beyond just the things with Carrot that worked really good with doing pure SEO and to actually creating content, like shooting videos on your cell phone when you're out there at a property and teaching people things and building trust and authority through your own unique content. And so that's some of the stuff that we're building now, and we have built, where we have a feature called Video Post, where a lot of investors, they're getting great rankings, but I'm like, man, as the markets get more competitive, we need to help you stand out. We need to help you stand out and build authority. And how do you build authority? Well, it's like the only way to build authority is with content. It's the only way to build authority is with content. And so if you and, you know, 75 other investors are in that market, and you connect with that seller, and they're connected with five other investors, you're all probably offering similar offers, right? It's like your dollar amount might be different, but you're still offering a fundamental about the same service. Hey, we can buy your house. We'll close quickly. We'll pay cash. You know, that's pretty much the same thing that most investors are offering. So how is it that you stand out? Well, you stand out with your trust, with the credibility, and with authority. And so we were starting to tell investors who weren't wanting to sit down and write their own articles, we're saying, guys, just like take your cell phone, and next time you're out at a house, you know, that's in probate, pull back and after you talk with the seller, take out the phone, like, hey, this is Trevor with ABC Property Buyers. Now, we just left this house with Marcia, and Marcia's going through this situation. You know, she inherited a house, it's her uncle's, she lives out of state, and And here's the problems that she's having, she's experiencing. Now, she didn't know that there's another option to sell a house here in Duluth other than just going with an agent. You know, she did, and they start to talk about the problem and then go, well, so I had a chance to sit down with her, and ABC Property Buyers is actually, we're actually making a cash offer on her home, and whatever the benefits are. And start to do consistent content like that, or take out the cell phone and say, hey guys, you know what? There's a lot of investors, a lot of agents in the market, but you're probably wondering, like, how does our process really work? And we even get, you know, people will tell us that like, they think that we're going to lowball them on offer. Well, you know what? Let me walk you through our exact process and how we make offers. And let me show you, hey, you know what? I'm writing up an offer right now. Let me show you the contract. Let me show you how I'm coming up with the price. Let me show you what we look at. Everything's transparent. So when you connect with us and you call us or go to our website, this is the process that you're going to experience. So take out the phone and do a lot more content. And they started to do that. And then we have a tool called Video Post that takes your videos, brings them in, yanks all the words out, and makes a full written article with the video at the top. And they're starting to rank really well in Google, where you can take your content marketing from like an hour a week to under 20 minutes a week and start to put out authoritative content that your competitors don't have online yet.
That's very cool. I like that. That's a good feature. Stuff, man.
And that's what we're trying to do, is automate more of those things like that. But the trust, credibility, and automating building authority, man, is going to be critical for people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that's it's pretty much, and it's kind of already here, and you're seeing it a lot more. Mm-hmm. The wave of just your marketing and advertising mm-hmm. is so much more just how can I be helpful, you know? Right? Mm-hmm. Yep. And just I'm going to show you how I can be helpful by actually being helpful right now. You know what I mean?
It's a novel idea, right?
It's a novel idea. Totally. It's the old show them that you can help them by actually helping them trick. Uh-huh. Yeah, totally.
I love it.
Sweet. So, why real estate, or do you serve other industries,
dude? So, my background's in real estate. 21 years old, bought my first 4-unit apartment building when I was in college, and that's when I kind of got bit by both the entrepreneurial bug, but also the real estate thing. Mm-hmm. And I thought that I wanted to be a house flipper and wholesaler. This is back 2005-06, mm-hmm. and the more that I dug into it, for me personally, anyway, I just didn't want my daily active income to be from real estate. Mm-hmm. I had realized, like, man, that's not what I enjoy. I really enjoy marketing. I really enjoy mm-hmm. building businesses, and I really love real estate for the long term wealth building side of things. We just bought the building next door to us too, here in downtown Rosa. We're going to be putting more retail downstairs, apartments upstairs, and that's what I love to do with real estate. Mm-hmm. But as I was diving into the real estate market, I built a publishing company, which JV Update. I don't know if you were a part of JV.
I heard of it. I was never a part of it. But
yeah. So JV Update, which Matt Andrews, who's a mutual friend of ours, him mm-hmm. and Ross bought that earlier in the year, and that kind of ingrained me into the real estate world even further. Where I was helping a ton of real estate investors drive a lot of leads. You know, I was driving a lot of online leads, man, and it kind of like, I got really good at driving online leads, really good at content marketing, really good at conversion optimization and ranking high on Google. And some of those people in that sphere found it, and I started helping them a lot. And so as I came up with the company name Carrot, and I saw this massive problem that small businesses across America have, I said, man, I think we can solve it. And so the long answer, or the short answer, is any high margin service business could do amazing with our software, but we hyper focus on real estate investors, and now we've had agents about the last year and a half, because mm-hmm. it's just the knowledge base where we came from, and we decided to niche down. I think where a lot of people get in trouble, man, is they don't niche, and we just decided to niche, and there was a lot more room in this industry than I thought that there was.
Mm-hmm. The riches are in the niches.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. So you say you really like being an entrepreneur, running a business, marketing. What do you like most about what you do?
Man, if you'd have asked me that question like 5 years ago or even 3 years ago, it would have been completely different. Because the funny thing is, and I'll give all the listeners some context. So, Carrot, we're going into our sixth year. We started at the end of 2013, started 2014. 30 employees, your revenue, you know, close to $10 million a year. So we're not a small company, mm-hmm. but we're not a big one yet either. Dude, I never wanted that. Like, I never wanted a big company. I always wanted what everyone else talked about on the online infomercials and stuff like that, where they're like, work from your kitchen table, in your underwear, mm-hmm. lifestyle business, all, you know, freedom and all this stuff. And dude, what I found for me in 2000, let's say 10, 11, 12, was I had that, but I felt empty. I had that, but I felt like, it's like, man, I've got this business that technically I have freedom and I do some traveling, and I'm making good money as a mid 20 something year old guy at that time. But I felt empty. I didn't feel like I had purpose. I didn't feel like I was like really, really contributing massively to the world. And I was kind of in the dumps. And I was honestly just not grateful. And that was the main issue. I just wasn't grateful. Mm-hmm. And so then I shifted and I got rid of everything that I was doing at that time in business, and except for my consulting company. And then I gave myself about a year. I'm like, let me figure out what I want to do next. And what I wanted to do next was build another lifestyle business, but just different this time, right? With consistent, mm-hmm. with consistent, predictable income. And I had invested in a couple software companies previous. One of them, I lost all my money. The other one's doing really well now. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, man, the software thing is interesting. It's consistent. It's predictable. And so going into starting Carrot, man, I wanted to maybe get it to 10 or 20 grand a month. I wanted mm-hmm. to maybe have a couple of VAs that worked with me. And mm-hmm. it was probably about 2 years in, after things started to grow, I realized, I'm like, man, what I'm really looking for is entrepreneur's freedom. I'm looking for flexibility. I'm looking to grow my finances. I want to make an impact. That's what will make me happy. Freedom, flexibility, grow my finances so I can make an impact. And I found that by trying to go the lifestyle business route, I actually had less freedom. I actually had less flexibility. And I started to analyze all my previous kind of mindsets that I had got injected into me from people saying, oh, more freedom equals no employees, more freedom equals lifestyle business, more freedom equals work from your kitchen table in your underwear. Mm-hmm. And I had started to realize for me, I'm like, man, I want to make a great impact. I can't do that unless I build a great company, and I can make a much greater impact if I build something bigger. But also, if I build an amazing team that is just awesome and that's marching towards a mission, that will actually gain way more freedom.
Mm-hmm.
And it has. Like, I take the month of July off every year, take a lot of vacations, but I work really, really hard too. And I work in the office half the time. Some weeks I'll work 40 hours, some weeks I'll work 60 if I'm jamming on something, some I'll work 10. But that's really, man, the big thing that I'm loving about business now is, in order to get the freedom, it's coaching our team members. 5 years ago, dude, it would have been doing split tests and stuff. Like, oh, I love doing split tests. But now I love casting vision and having amazing people surround a vision so we can go make an impact and coaching them up.
God. It's funny how much work is required to build a business that doesn't require any work. You know what I mean?
Oh, dude, the first 2 or 3 years of Carrot, and this is something that people don't see behind the scenes, but the same thing with you, or same thing with other successful investors. They'll look at what happened a year later, 2 years, 3 years later that they hear on the podcast, this big success story, but they don't hear about that first 6 months, first 8 months, first year as much, where they just were grinding and where they kept on hitting losses and they were second guessing themselves. Mm-hmm. And I didn't take a paycheck with Carrot for 18 months. But I was having fun the whole time. I mean, I just enjoy what I'm doing now. I feel like I'm marching towards something that's better. That was cool. Mm-hmm.
You know, and congratulations on building such a great business. Thanks, you bet. I belong to several mastermind groups, and the ones I always get the most from are the non-real estate ones.
Yep.
I think just the spirit of the mastermind lives stronger and better inside of an environment where there's huge diversification. Because it seems like everyone's a little bit more free to share, a little bit more free to give. And so, like, you get the true nature of the mastermind. And so building a business of 10 million bucks is that's amazing. And it takes a lot to get there. What would you say is the biggest lesson you've learned along the way that a real estate investor could also use?
Man, there's a whole series of them. It's funny, myself and my content guy, we were in my studio recording a podcast on this topic, but looking back at the last 4 years. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's not like one big lesson. It's one lesson at certain times, and then it's another lesson, then it's another lesson. Mm-hmm. And I think the biggest one for me, though, is most real estate investors aren't intentional with what they're wanting to build. They're not sitting down and writing, hey, this is exactly what I want to build. This is exactly why. This is what it will look like. And I didn't do that with my previous companies anyway. So leading into Carrot, to prevent myself from doing what I did in my previous companies, where I just felt out of energy and I felt like a lack of purpose. I'm like, man, I created something to give myself freedom and actually trap myself in my own business, my previous one. I pulled back and wrote non-negotiables. I said, what are the things I'm not going to negotiate moving forward? And whatever business I start, the business has to match these things. And it became five things. It ended up being five things. And I so wish I would have done that in my previous businesses. But that's one thing I would love to see more investors do, is pull back and go, why am I doing this? Because I'll talk with a lot of investors, you've met a lot of them too, where they end up hitting the revenue goals that was like their dream, you know, the 10 grand a month or 100 grand a month, whatever the number is. It was their dream. And as long as we're focusing our growth on numbers, you're just going to increase your number. And then you hit it. And you're like, well, I'm at this mastermind and these other guys are doing better. So I just need to increase it some more. And then you end up building a business that you despise. You build a business that doesn't actually provide what you hoped it would at the start. And you let the numbers guide you. So guys, write non-negotiables. Like, pull back and go, this business must serve these things in my life or must look like this. And then make sure that you're building your business to fit that exactly. And if doing 200 grand a month or 50 grand a month or 20 or 100 does not allow you to do that, then don't build a business that gets you to that spot. Like, just do whatever the number is that builds the perfect business for you.
That's a fantastic answer. I love it. I think about all the income goals that I've hit over my life. And every time I hit them, I'm like, is this it?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, we're there. So you have to have the income goal with some meaning around it and something that it also provides other than just hitting a number.
Dude, right? And here's one thing that I'd suggest that investors do as well is when you're doing your annual planning, so we're wrapping up our annual planning right now. Mm-hmm. And when you do your annual planning, the first couple of years of Carrot, and I've done this with other entrepreneurs who I've guided theirs, you look at it and you always go, well, it's like, what did we do last year? Awesome. Well, now it's going to be this. Like you always move it up just because you think that's what you got to do. You got to grow, right? Mm-hmm. And so we would look at it and go, well, here's where we're going with revenue numbers and customer numbers, or for investors, it could be here's how many deals we're wanting to do and here's how much revenue and here's how much this. And every year you set a bigger number. And I think it's 2 or 3 years in, we pulled back and we were way past the number that I thought the company would ever get to. And we wrote the number up there and it looked big and it looked cool. And then we pulled back and we're like, man, we already hit like the numbers we thought we'd maybe someday get this company to. Mm-hmm. And we just put a big Y next to it. We just said like, why? W-H-Y. Like, why does that number matter? And then we pulled back and looked at it and went, okay, does that number actually matter? Does that number actually really matter to us, to mission, to purpose, or is that just trying to go after a bigger number because there's bigger numbers? Mm-hmm. And so we've done that every year since. We always set these goals and we go, why does that number matter? Does that actually help to push forward our stated mission that we fully believe in? Does that actually help to make the impacts that we hope to make? And if we're not ever convicted about it, we pull back and go, I don't know, maybe it's time to either have someone else run this company, we make it a lifestyle business, or we sell it, or whatever. Up to this point, we haven't had that. And I think one of the things that has helped us is working in multiple facets of your mission. And one of ours here for small town Roseburg, Oregon, is we want to impact our communities in a big way. You know, we're the fastest growing software company 2 years in a row in the whole state of Oregon here in Roseburg. And we started our giving program a couple of years ago where we give away 1%, at least 1% of our gross revenue to causes that matter, amplify our core values. And that's another reason for us. It's like, well, the more that we grow, the more that we give, well, what if we bump our number up? What if it's not 1% now? What if it's 2% now? And so that's some of the things that is challenging us to continue to grow. Guys, ask yourself why those goals matter, and they better matter at your core.
Nice. What's in your future that you're most excited about right now?
Being real, like I'm most excited to see my kids grow. Like that's like, I want to see my kids grow, and I want to see like who they're going to become. That's what I'm most excited about. But if we're to talk like on the business side in my side, dude, the thing I'm the most excited about right now is there's this massive shift going through the real estate market. I mean, I've got this here, but there's a massive shift going through the real estate market right now. And I think it's like this perfect storm of opportunity right now in all of real estate. I'm talking like the retail side, the wholesale side. You see iBuyers coming in the middle right now. And we're at the spot right now where the stock market was in the late 80s, early 90s, where there was the big stock market crash in the late 80s. Technology was starting to catch up with the inefficiencies that were happening in the stock transaction. You had to physically call a stockbroker to make a trade. Right. And that was a massively inefficient process. So technology was catching up with them and they completely disrupted everything. And a lot of people were saying stockbrokers are dead, the industry's dead, everything's going digital. A lot of people went digital, but also there were a ton of stockbrokers who did go out of business because they didn't shift with the industry and shift with technology. But actually the industry got bigger. They specialized. They niched down and built authority around certain types of financial investments. They became registered investment advisors, certified financial planners. You saw all of these designations pop up over the next two to three decades. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're going through right now with real estate. And so that excites us business-wise that if we've got the right plan, which I feel that we do, but you never know until you do it, knock on wood, I feel like we're at a perfect time to go in there and help investors and help agents through this tech disruption so they can stand out and win instead of getting eaten up by technology. And if we're able to do that, then we can grow something like crazy, crazy special here from small town Roseburg, Oregon, inspire other entrepreneurs. You can build what the heck you want to build, no matter where you want to build it, and do it in the way that you want to do it. You know, we're bootstrapped. You don't have to go out there and do the things the way that other people want to do it. You can do it anywhere. And it doesn't matter if it's software or real estate or whatever. But this right here is crazy exciting. It's also scary for many people. disruption because your profits are getting compressed in some markets. Investors that are not shifting are going to become more of a commodity as you have your buyers starting to come in there and trying to provide a similar service. So that's where those investors have to specialize and increase their authority, which is through content, because the iBuyers are not going to be able to compete against you at a local niche, local level with your expertise. So that's why you need to start to go beyond an expert and build authority. And we're pumped about solving that problem.
Sweet. It's the whole Gary V mantra, isn't it? He's like, every industry, because of technology and the internet, is going to become a commodity, and all you will have is your brand.
Yep.
And what creates your brand and supports your brand is your content.
Exactly. And that's where I think real estate investors, especially wholesalers, have had kind of, an easy ride, I think, the last 5, 6, 7 years, because the market's going up and it covers a lot of the mistakes. You know, if you buy wrong and the market's still going up, it covers some of those inefficiencies and mistakes.
Yeah.
So we're going to see a lot less of that the next 2 to 5 years. Less mistakes are going to be covered. Some more people are going to kind of get bit if you don't tighten up your ship and really operate well. Mm-hmm. But you're spot on, man. Like, and the reason I say a lot of them have had it easy, there's that part of it, but also you can go out there and send 1 million text messages or 1 million voice broadcasts or a bunch of things and close deals. And you'll continue to be able to do that, but it's going to get harder and harder and harder unless you come up and say, hey, here's my expertise and here's my stuff. Here's how I can help you and get your word out to as many as you can. So if that person gets offers from 10 other people, they're going to work with you because they trust you more. And trust is going to be massive in its next part for sure.
Totally. Awesome. We've been talking today to Mr. Trevor Mock, CEO of Carrot.com, the number one provider of websites, highly optimized, converting, performing websites for real estate investors. Trevor, if anyone wanted to get in touch with you or your services or products, what would be the very best way for them to do that?
Man, just Carrot.com is the best spot. We've got a ton of blogs over there, and also our podcasts, the Carrot Cast. Carrotcast.com or on Apple Podcasts, but Carrotcast, man, I do 2 episodes a week, and a lot of them are kind of like, honestly, behind the scenes. Half of our podcasts have nothing to do with real estate. They're like, it's literally, what am I going through building my company and how can it relate to any entrepreneur? And then the other half are great interviews with awesome people like yourself.
That's awesome. I didn't even know you had a podcast.
Yeah, man. You're a much bigger podcast. You're a much bigger podcast. We'll get about 25,000 downloads a month. Mm-hmm. But man, it's fun. Like for me, it's kind of part therapeutic, where on those episodes that I call them Trevor Truck Talks, I'm literally recording most of my podcasts on my phone when I drive home. Mm-hmm. But it's just me talking about, hey, this is what I'm experiencing right now. Here's how I waded through this business issue. Here's how I waded through this, like, how do I align my schedule with my wife's and with my executive assistant so I am out of the doghouse more often, because we communicate better. I even talk about that stuff on there. It's fun.
Awesome. Well, I've certainly enjoyed this, and I'm a subscriber now. So bud. Yeah. Dude, love to spend more time with you.
Let's do it. Well, enjoy your time here in Oregon. How long are you going to be out here for the holidays?
I am here until I've never done this before. We're traveling on Christmas Day.
Yeah. It's probably going to be empty.
Huh? Yeah. The cool thing is that they're projecting snow here at this elevation in Oregon that I'm at on Christmas Day. So it'd be nice to get snowed in on Christmas Day.
That would be cool. Can't
think of anything better. But anyway, we'll play it by ear.
I love it.
Trevor, it's been a pleasure. Let's stay in touch and we'll do it again.
Awesome, Matt. I appreciate you, man. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Take care. All righty. So that's it for today. God bless to your success. I'm Matt Terrio, living the dream.
Yeah, we got the cash flow. Huh. Yeah, we got the cash flow. Yeah, we got the cash flow. You didn't know, homeboy, we got the cash flow.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.